Hey, this is your host, D. Wells, and welcome to part two with Shannon Coleman. Hey, part one was powerful. Part two, just a continuation in a more powerful way. Hey, it's time to finish up this conversation with Shannon. Are y'all ready? Hey, let's get to it, Shannon. Let's go.
And also to my Bible study group, my BSF Bible study group, you know, they want to know how to pray for me, you know. So it was a way to gain all of that support, but being transparent about my journey and let other people know what it, how it looks like. Like, it's not pretty all the time, you know, because I had other I had other challenges within the journey. And so, I mean, for example, like after my mastectomy, I was having trouble breathing. And so I was like, oh, it's my asthma, right? Because I have severe asthma too. So when I went to my plastic surgeon at that time, I switched them because I decided to do another type of reconstruction. And I was like, you know, yeah, I'm having trouble breathing. And he looked up at me. He was like, when did this start? You know, and I said, well, it was after my surgery. And so he was like, you need to tell your doctor. So, okay. So told my doctor, he ordered a chest scan in my ride. So I went in there, my one of my sorority sisters, she took me. And so they were like, well, you have to wait here until we get the results. And so I said, okay. So I called my sans and I was like, hey, my sorority sister. And I was like, hey, you know, we have to wait. So she was like, okay. So then I'm waiting there and the technician comes out. She was like, can you come back here for a minute? I was like, okay, maybe they got to redo the test. So I walk back there and then I'm sitting in that little room that, you know, the little room where they where you change. And she's like looking down at me and she was like, did you come? Did you drive yourself or did somebody bring you? And I was like, I drove. I mean, I was like, no, somebody brought me. And she was like, okay, I need you to call them. And I was like, I'm confused. Like, what's going on? Right. I'm just like, I don't know what's going on. And I'm like sitting there almost ready to cry because I didn't know what was going on. I said, well, did they find something? And she was like, yes, they did. And you need to go to emergency like now. And so if you don't have a ride here, we need to call the ambulance for you. And so I called my sorority sister, and I'm like, Sans, they're telling me I have to go to ER. I don't know what's going on. And she got scared. She's like, oh my God. Okay. She's like, I'm right here. I'm pulling up. And so the lady was like, I need to walk you out just to confirm that you're going. She said, we contact an emergency, go right here to center. They're expecting you. And so I was like, what is going on? So she said, you have blood clots in your lungs, pulmonary embolisms. And I was like, oh my God. So get to ER. In the meantime, I'm texting my family. I'm texting Padma, like, because I don't know what's about to happen. Like, are they about to rush me into surgery? What? And I'm like, almost in tears. And I'm just like, I'm on my way to ER. They found blood clots in my lungs, pulmonary embolisms. I don't know what's going on. And I noticed my mom wasn't responding. So when I get to ER, the first chance I got, I called my sister because I was like, mommy's not answering the text. You might need to call mommy. So she was like, okay. And so later on, I had found out that was traumatic for my mom because my sister had passed a pulmonary hypertension.
Oh, wow.
And so she was like, wait a minute. I had one daughter that just died of pulmonary hypertension. And you're telling me another daughter's on her way to ER with a pulmonary embolism. Like, what is that? What's going on? And so I get to ER. And I'm just like, just rushed in. There's two doctors on these computers. They're like, EKG, this, that. They're like rushing me. I mean, which is good. I mean, they were on top of it. And it turns out, yeah, I had all these little pulmonary embolisms in my lung, which were blood clots. So that was one of the challenges within the challenge of my journey. But I documented the whole thing. Like, I came back.
Yeah.
Had a little video and said, Y'all, this is why I was having trouble breathing when I was talking in my previous videos. And it just, you know, kind of brought it full circle. But then it let people know how they could pray for me. So the video blog was a blessing. And it was allowed people to send like food. Mm-hmm. It allowed people to help with appointments, like take me to appointments. They can sign up through that. Right. So it was a very, very good blog. It's called Give in Kind. Mm-hmm. And it was a very, very good blog.
Okay. And so one of the things I liked was the fact that you actually recognized that you had a problem just kind of with breathing. And then you went to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like on purpose. You just mentioned that, oh, I'm having problems with such and such. And then all of a sudden, right. You're like, what?
And right.
And the fact that you actually listened, it took,
right,
took the
right,
action, right,
right,
to actually go check it out.
Right. Because he was like, yep. He was like, he looked up, was like, huh? Like, and then, so yeah. And then I was just text and mm-hmm. I mean, sent a message to my other doctor. And he was like, okay, I need to put you in. And he was monitoring the whole thing. Because as soon as I was walking out of ER, his office calls and was like, okay, we noticed you got released. The doctor wants to see you like tomorrow or the day after. We need to schedule. And when I got in the doctor's office, he was like, yeah, he said, I was monitoring all the reports and everything they were uploading. And my sister was too, because I gave her access. And she was like, yeah, I was monitoring it too.
Get down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, during all of this, did you ever think or go back to when God said, listen, I got you.
I did. I did. Like your thing says behind you, I had that same thing, faith over fear.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was scared, but at the same time, I was just like, you know what, God, I know you got me. I know you got me, right. You know. But I mean, I was scared. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I was scared, you know, just like Joshua was scared because he was like, God, I'm too young for this. Like, how am I going to go into war with all of these like peoples? Like, how am I supposed to do this? Like, you know.
I never commanded no army.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, it's just I had to dig deep on this one. And, thankfully, no surgeries, just medication for 6 months. But it did test me because it delayed my next surgery just for that long to start my reconstruction. So it delayed that. So,
man.
Yeah, which is fine because looking back, I'm glad it did because the reconstruction I chose was to use my own tissue to reconstruct. So, it's a very intricate surgery. And so it was a brutal recovery. So I'm glad it kind of got delayed.
You remember that time I actually came by just to see you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, had that happened at that point or no?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it did. Yeah. No, not yet. Wow. Nope. Mm-hmm. Yep. Not yet, bro. Not yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been a journey, but I'm still here. People are like, you definitely don't look like what you've been through. And I'm glad, you know, but I definitely will testify and tell people what I've been through. Right.
I just think about all the people that you can actually share and inspire, you know, just through the journey, you know.
And I let God use me. People reach out to me. Like, I've had a few friends who got diagnosed with breast cancer and they immediately reached out to me. Mm. And I was able to have those conversations with them that others who hadn't been through it can't because they don't understand.
Right.
You know, they don't understand that sometimes it's overwhelming, even though, you know, people are reaching out in love, but sometimes it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like when someone passes. And you have 50 people tell you, weeping will endure for the night. But joy, can you get one more person tell me this? but they mean well, right? They mean well. But when the 50th person comes and tells you, you kind of got to hold back and be like, okay, thank you. You know? thank you for your prayers.
Yeah, that's the wrong message right now. That's the wrong message.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. So I definitely have been able to support others and pay it forward. Mm-hmm. Like those who supported me through my journey. And that's nothing but God, you know, yeah. He's using me for that purpose. So, yeah. And I'm open to it.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. And just through your own testimony, you just see how much you've actually grown and how your faith has changed.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that you're a strong person. I already know it. You can see it. Oh. you know what I'm saying?
You know, that's God. I can't even take credit for that. I'm like, you know, people say that. They do say that because they're like, oh my God, you lost your sister. You had to go through this cancer journey. You lost your mother. You know, people are genuinely worried about me, you know, and I'm just it's the true meaning and understanding that peace that surpasses all understanding that is talked about in scripture. You don't know exactly what that means until you actually feel it and experience it. And that's what I have been feeling. That's what I have been experiencing. I am at peace. I know one day we all have to go to glory. I accept it when my mom was in the hospital that this was her time. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it hurt any less, but God's comfort helps me get through it a little better in my relationship with him. I couldn't imagine going through all of this and not knowing God. Me and my sister talk about this, and we both be like, oh my God, I don't know how people do it without God. You know,
it's no telling what their mental state is like either. I mean, if you don't, it's like they might just kind of get to a place where they just try to control everything on their own.
Yes.
Going in, they don't have no control over it whatsoever. And so just think about all the worry and anxiety that goes along with that. And the crying and
yes,
you're just making the situation even worse, right?
Right. Because I mean, as believers, we cry, but it's a different type of cry. It's like a joyful cry. It's like a thankful cry, grateful cry. You know, we're like smiling through our tears. You know, but I mean, we cry too, but it's different.
It is. So I know besides just reading scripture, are there any books that you've read in the past or currently reading that just kind of keeps you motivated and inspired just about life?
You know, there aren't. I just been focusing on scripture, daily devotionals, my Bible study, that's really it because to be honest, sometimes I can't stay awake because all the time I was going through recovery surgeries and stuff like that. I was sleeping a lot. My energy was low, you know? So I tend to do more just meditations and stuff and just praying and just, you know, talking to God. I do have some books that I have lined up. You know, I got Michelle Obama's book. I have, yeah, I have some books lined up, but I just haven't had a chance to read them because it seems like when I get through one thing, something else is coming, you know? So you know, recently we had to clean out my mom's house to get it ready up for sale. So now I'm trying to get my space together because I got some of her stuff here. And so with her stuff coming in, I got to get rid of some of my stuff, you know, to make room. So it's like, I just been constantly going, you know? So, yeah.
Hey, you know, one thing is, football season is right around the corner. Even though we're in May, we already had the draft, so I know you're ready.
Yep. Go Niners. Yes. Go Niners.
From everything that you have experienced so far, just in life and everything, do you think a lot of people just kind of take life for granted?
You know, I don't think they do it purposely. I don't think they take life for granted per se.
Yeah.
I really think it just depends on their relationship with God and their life circumstances of how they see stuff differently.
Yeah.
You know, because since I've been through these challenges, my relationship with God has gotten stronger and I view life differently. So I think it's how people view life. Yeah. Some people don't value life, right. You know, some people do value life because they know that we have to live this life in order to have access to eternity mm-hmm. and salvation, you know? So I don't think people take it for granted. I just think they don't have a strong relationship with God, or they're not believers, or, you know, some just believe that there's no afterlife. You know, I think it just depends on people's beliefs.
Right.
And that's how they live their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could say the same thing. Like, just with people just kind of thinking this might be a test run, you know, like,
yes,
dude, this is the only life you got. So
you need to straighten
up and act right and take care of business.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So, yeah, I think it just depends on people's beliefs and their circumstances, because, you know, sometimes people find God in the midst of their circumstances.
Right.
You know, some people don't, you know, some people never find God, you know, some people don't want to, you know, because they're like, who is this person these people talk to, and they can't see this person, you know? So
It
just depends on people's relationship with God, I think. Yeah. So,
or they might be a lot of blame.
Yes, like, exactly.
This to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they look at, why is all the bad stuff happening to all the good people, you know? And why are the bad people getting away with all this stuff, you know? So it depends on people's lens that they have on their belief. So
That's the truth. Hey, take the scales off them eyes so you can actually see clearly. Come on now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what do you think some of the major changes that you just had to make just in order to overcome, you know, some of the challenges?
Well, like I was saying earlier, I had to learn to receive, you know? That was hard for me. Like, if someone says, I want to send you a case of water, you know, now it's like, okay, you know, not that I'm going to, give you like money for it or nothing, you know, like, you know. Oh, or people will send me, like, some people, like, recently still reach out to me. I want to send you a meal.
Yeah.
You know. Okay.
Yeah, I know what you could do. Hey, you could post some stuff on your blog and be like, I'm receiving today.
Right. Especially with inflation, right?
Right.
Today is a receiving day.
That's right. Bring it on. Bring it
on. Right. So, yeah, that was the biggest change, was letting people take care of me. Huge, big. And I'm grateful for it, because those were the last days of my mom, and I didn't know, you know? So going through my last surgery without her was a challenge, but I was grateful because she was here for the thick of it.
Right.
You know, my last surgery wasn't as tedious as my first two surgeries. And I was in the hospital for 5 days after my second surgery, and ICU for 2 days. But she was there, though, for the thick of it. And I just had to, as me and my sister drove to San Francisco, we just were like praising God. You know, it's just, we're like looking at each other like it's just us two now with my nephews. It's just us four, because it's brother's brother and sister to sister, you know. But we're like, she's here with us. She's still here with us.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So how are the nephews doing now? Are they cool?
You know, are they hanging. They're managing, working, in transition to getting apartments and stuff. So, but it's kind of weird because I'm used to going to my mom's house and seeing them. So I don't see them as much. So I have to make more effort to call them, check on them, text them, you know, maybe possibly schedule a family outing, probably, you know, hey, you guys, let's go bowling, or let's go out to eat or something, you know. So they know they still have us, you know, even though two integral part of their lives are gone, but we want to make it clear that they still have us and we still have each other.
That's right.
So,
that could be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And especially, two of the figures that they relied on are gone. So yeah, it's pretty tough. So mm-hmm. yeah, but
I can relate.
Yeah. Yeah. All I could do is just sigh. Thank God, man.
So what are some of the things that you're doing now that, or just kind of get you excited about life?
You know, well, therapy one. Uh-huh. So therapy is a big one.
Yeah.
So, I'm doing therapy, but, also just, you know, being happy in my job. I love my job. Yeah. You know, I've started traveling again. Just basically living day by day, but thanking God every single day I get up and just, I let him superintend my day. Yeah. And that gets me excited. You know, I'm at peace. I'm just happy, mm-hmm. you know? And so I just try to live each day to the fullest that I can in the moment.
That's right. That's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, going out to eat a lot helps too.
You said,
I'm going out to eat tonight, as a matter of fact.
Where are you going?
Bennett's. It's called Bennett's. It's in Fair Oaks. Okay. Yeah. Bennett's. Yes.
I never heard of it, but it sounds pretty exclusive.
Well, we'll see. I just show up when they tell me to show up.
That's right.
So, yeah, but I feel like I've been pretty successful, even though sometimes I didn't feel like I was successful going through the journey. But coming on the other end of it, this tail end, uh-huh. I have my last post-op tomorrow, and my surgical team, oncologist team, will be releasing me. And so that's going to be a celebration in itself. And me and my sister, what are we going to do?
We're
going to go out to eat. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. So tomorrow is just going to be probably surreal. And it might bring everything full circle, you know, right. Just mm-hmm. thinking this is the last time I'm walking out of this office, like, will be amazing.
Yeah. That's outstanding.
Yeah.
What a journey.
Wow. Yes. What a journey.
What a journey.
But it's a successful one.
For real. It is.
Yes. Yes.
It absolutely is.
Yes. It's a successful one, I would say.
Yeah. So this is more of like a dream or idea type of question.
Uh-huh. For you. Yeah. Yeah.
So if there was anything in this world that you could do right now and you would not fail whatsoever, what would it do? What would it be?
Oh, let me see. Okay. I always bring it back to God. Salvation. Because that is already promised to us.
Right.
There's no way we can fail at that as long as we have a relationship with God, as long as we acknowledge God.
Mm-hmm.
We can't fail. He's already guaranteed our salvation. So I'm living the best I can live. We all are not perfect. God knows that. I mean, from Adam and Eve, you know, he knows that we're living a life of sin.
Right.
There's no perfection in Christians. And that sometimes vexes my spirit when some Christians come off as like they can't do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause therefore, when they do wrong, the ones who are not believers, they're like looking through a whole different lens, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm transparent, right. You know, about that. I'm living this life just like everybody else, you know, but salvation is guaranteed.
Right.
You know, all we have to do is just acknowledge God, acknowledge that Jesus Christ died for our sins, repent, and there's no way we can fail in that.
You can't. It's guaranteed.
Yes. Yes, but I wouldn't mind going to the Seychelles Islands, though. That would be good. I wouldn't mind doing that.
Right.
Going to the Seychelles or going back to Italy. I love Italy. Italy's like one of my favorite countries. I'm hopefully can go back there soon.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That is funny. Let me just throw this in there, y'all.
Right. But see, them things you can fail at. You can't fail at salvation.
That's right.
Yes. Exactly.
So when you talking about success, it just made me think about the Booker T quote. Success is to be measured not so much by the position that one has reached in life as by the obstacles which he has overcome. Booker T. Washington.
Yes.
It's some good stuff.
It is. No, that's a good quote. That's a very good quote. Very good quote. But my definition of success, like I heard it, it's funny. This is God. Someone sent me this quote today and it hits perfect. And the quote is from Mickey Rooney. And it says, "You always pass failures on your way to success."
Pass. You're going to pass.
Exactly. Right? Pass. Yes. And we have to go through failures because we have to learn from that in order to be successful, right? So you have to pass through challenges. You have to pass through some failures. You have to go through journeys in order to get to that success. But the my definition of success is how you use those challenges and how you use those failures, how you learn from them in order to get to where God wants you to be according to his sovereign plan for you.
Right. I think you hit the head. You hit the nail on the head earlier when you said, when you started talking about Joshua and being courageous.
Yes. Yes. Cause he was young and scared. Right. Like a lot of us are coming up, you know, when God calls you to do something, we always don't think we're capable of doing it. You know, but God always knows best though.
That's right.
You know, so his timing is always the perfect timing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So before we wrap up and finish up,
can
you please just share some words of wisdom or advice to those listening just on pursuing ideas and dreams and just having faith and being courageous?
I would say just read your scripture if you can, you know. The way to hear God's voice is to pray and to read scripture. And you truly have to let go and let God. And let God use you and the other people in your life to advise and guide his sovereign plan he has for you. You know, we can't just be like, I'm going to let go and let God. And then it's kind of like when you're in the passenger seat, but you driving from you letting God have the steering wheel, but you still trying to tell him which way to go. Right. You in the passenger seat, right? And it's not an easy task. It comes with everyday meditations, everyday prayer. It's not easy. Things will not be easy, but it's easier when you have a relationship with God. And so, but I would say humbleness and just being there to serve and receive, you know, that's what I've learned. And just take one day at a time and take one issue at a time, you know, and just let it be used for the greater of God's good. And just don't look at it as this is all jacked up, but look at it like, what am I gaining from this? And then take it and then keep moving forward to that end, to that successful end.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Y'all heard it first. Y'all from Shannon Cole, man. Breast cancer survivor, man. That is amazing. That's off the hood, girl.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, bro. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Shannon, for sharing your triumphant story. Definitely something that the world needs to hear. I am truly thankful, encouraged, and honored to have you on. Hey, if people don't operate differently after hearing you, Shannon, Something is definitely wrong. And next week, I'll be joined by Nick Range with Downrange Tactical. He's a law enforcement sergeant and entrepreneur who is making his mark, stepping out of his comfort zone. And you all have a blessed week. And remember, be strong and courageous in whatever you do, and continue to be the best version of you. It's your host, D. Wells, signing off.